we didn't see a lot of mortality in the nursery when the phenylalanine and tyrosine levels were at what we believe the estimated requirements should be, which is we estimate 52% for phenylalanine to lysine and 38% for tyrosine to lysine.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Kemin invites you to optimize swine health and nutrition. Dive in at Kemin.com/swine. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal nutrition.
Welcome to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, where we explore the science behind swine nutrition. I'm your host, Jorge Estrada, and today in our podcast we have Sydney Craig. Sydney is a grad student working with Dr. Laura Grainer at Iowa State University. Today, we'll be talking about amino acid requirements for pigs, and more specifically, we will be discussing arginine in sows and phenylalanine and tyrosine in nursery pigs. Sydney, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us today. And before we dive in, could you give us a quick overview of your background?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Sorry. So I got my bachelor's in animal science from Purdue. I graduated with that in May of 2024. And then I joined Dr. Grainer here at Iowa State University for my master's. So I'm in the second year of my master's, winding things down here. So
awesome. Well, happy to have you here. And well, let's talk about amino acid requirements, right? From what you have researched, could you give us a quick summary of the impact of amino acid balance in sows and pig performance in general?
So there's been a lot of literature that has looked at supplementing specifically arginine in sows during gestation. And arginine plays a lot of important roles with nitric oxide, polyamines, and these can help with angiogenesis and placental development during gestation. And this previous work has seen improvements in litter weights at birth and total born. So the idea was to take that and apply it to lactation and see if supplementing arginine in lactation would have similar benefits to pig livability during farrowing. As we all know, that's a big point of mortality is in the farrowing rooms and piglets. It's around 30%, I believe. So there's been some previous work that has looked at supplementing arginine in lactation, and it's not very consistent. Some trials will see higher wean weights, and then those pigs will continue to have those higher weights into the finisher, despite not having an increased gain. They will just maintain a higher weight on average. And then some trials have seen no benefits to supplementing arginine. The levels of arginine that have been supplemented have kind of bounce around with supplementing additionally to the diet around 1.1% arginine. So that'd bring your SID value up to around 1.12 to 1.2 area. So what we did was we supplemented to achieve an SID arginine of 1.12%. However, we didn't see any improvements in piglet livability, sow performance, or weights in the farrowing room from our supplemented arginine.
Feed formulation software is stuck in the past. Most tools haven't evolved beyond basic least cost optimization. A Diet Forge changes that. It's an AI-powered platform with nonlinear ingredient modeling for enzymes and additives, cost per gain and maximum profit optimization, and real-time collaboration like Google Docs for nutrition. Every recommendation is grounded in world-class research, built for modern nutritionists who need more than legacy desktop software can deliver. Work seamlessly with your team and optimize the way modern operations demand. Try DietForge.ai free today. Feed formulation, finally modernized.
Excellent. And maybe if we want to wrap up a little bit this topic, because I mean, you discuss a little bit of what you have found in literature, a little bit of what you guys have done in your own research. Give us a little bit of, you know, what are the major findings of your own research, the things that you guys have been looking at the university with Dr. Grainer.
Yeah, so we've been really focused on the pig livability work, both in the nursery and in the farrowing rooms with the arginine work. One thing we looked at with the nursery was the phenylalanine and tyrosine stuff. So looking at an updated requirement of phenylalanine and tyrosine to lysine, there's not a lot of previous work with that. In my own literature review for it, work went back to the 50s and 70s, and this was on supplemental phenylalanine. It wasn't on an SID basis. And then in 2014, NRA did an estimate to update the nursery phenylalanine to lysine requirement based on average daily gain in particular, because the NRC reports it on average daily feed intake. So we didn't see a lot of mortality in the nursery when the phenylalanine and tyrosine levels were at what we believe the estimated requirements should be, which is we estimate 52% for phenylalanine to lysine and 38% for tyrosine to lysine.
So as you mentioned, there is not a whole lot of information about these, and sows have changed quite a bit in a general sense, pigs as well, you know, since all that work was done. So let's talk about, you know, what are the most practical recommendations, you know, from your work that producers of nutritionists could apply?
So there's been, throughout the literature, there's been some disagreement about how much of phenylalanine can be used to meet the pig's tyrosine needs, how much of tyrosine could be used to meet the phenylalanine needs of the pig. So I wouldn't say that we could assume that it's a 50-50. NRA themselves went in to estimate the combined phenylalanine and tyrosine to lysine requirement, and they recommended that we should be feeding to separate requirements. However, we are interested in doing an additional trial to look at that. It was kind of beyond the scope of my study. We could hypothesize towards a combined requirement based off of my results. However, the highest estimates I've seen are that you could use 54% of phenylalanine to meet the requirement, and I've seen as low as 37% to meet the requirement.
Yeah. Well, Sydney, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have today. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us some great comments. Join us in our next episode.